Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Here we go. Jake and Josh are here to analyze the game they love for the team they love.
This is another Dolphins podcast.
Here's your host, Jake Mendel and Josh Houts.
Thanks for tuning in to another edition of another Dolphins podcast. We have reached the last week of March, which means the NFL draft is quickly approaching. And knowing that the NFL is a 24/7 news cycle, we are not stopping here on another Dolphins podcast. It is Monday afternoon. I'm joined by Merrick Brave, Joshua Houts. Gentlemen, how goes it?
Goes well. In honor of the debauchery that was Dolphins Twitter over the weekend, I've decided to do this recording completely nude from the midsection down. So it is a family program. If you're watching on YouTube, I'm not going to show you that. You're just going to have to trust me on this one. But Dolphins Twitter, what are you doing, man? I think we need football to get started back up, huh? We're in the doldrums of free agency here.
I mean, we always need football to start up, but I think Dolphins Twitter needs Jesus based on this weekend's events. But it's Monday. We get to come on here and talk Dolphins football. I say it every single podcast, but it's a pleasure. So I'm doing good. Jake, how are you been, man? How have you been this week?
The disrespect for the XFL that is gearing up this week is unheard of. It is unmatched, and it is outrageous, Mr. Brave.
Wait, is it the UFL starting now? Like, how many leagues joined into one league? What's going on?
Oh, God. For 15 seconds of time. I think they're just called the XFL. That's like the most marketable name of them, if you had to guess. Would you agree or would you prefer? Are you a USFL guy?
Well, you know me. I got my background's in wrestling, right? So the XFL, originally a WWE like offshoot football league, like that's, I was all about that when it first came out many, many years ago. But I feel like, you know, The Rock owned the revamped version of the XFL, but I think they joined with the USFL and now they're just the UFL, the United Football League. I think that's what's going down. I'm probably not going to watch very much UFL. If I had to guess right now, just, you know, I'll if I'm scrolling channels and I see it, I might stop for a couple minutes, but it's not going to be a regular viewing experience for me.
Yeah, back in our day, what, they had He Hate Me on the back, and they used to, like, race to get to kickoff and things like that. I thought you might know what's going on with Rock being your BFF, but no one's watching UFL or XFL, whatever it is. But isn't Preston Williams on one of those teams? Isn't the unicorn out there playing football?
One day we'll have to do, like, a trivia. We'll do a trivia show, and we'll just do XFL players who were on the Dolphins. Merrick, you brought up an interesting point, and before we get into some little more free agent talk we have before draft season really gets going here. But you spoke about how the NFL and wrestling and kind of meshing the two together, but the NFL, I got to tell you, is starting to look like a flag football league, no fun league. Merrick, they decided to tarnish our game more. They banned the hip drop tackle. What says you?
Well, they did ban the swivel hip drop tackle.
How
so now we
they?
Now we have to like learn the different variations of the hip drop tackle.
Mortal Kombat moves at this point.
Yeah, like the original hip drop tackle wasn't enough. Now there's a swivel version. I don't know. There's probably a toilet bowl version where
that's
you spin
for that one.
Play. Yeah, I'm not even sure. It'll be interesting to see how it's enforced, what the penalty for that foul will be. Is it going to be a 10-yard, 15-yard, automatic first down?
15 yards and an automatic first down.
All right. So essentially a personal foul there. You know, growing up, I played football in high school. I played defense. I was a linebacker. A lot of tackling involved in that job. And I hate to be that guy, that old guy, but come on, man. They're football players. Let football players play football. But as a fan of the Miami Dolphins, a team that kind of butters its bread on the offensive side of the football, and a team that, you know, kind of went down south after Tyreek Hill was injured by a hip drop tackle in that Monday Night Football loss against the Tennessee Titans last year. And the season never recovered from that. You know, Tyreek was hampered for the rest of the year. More players got hurt, and we all saw how that one ended. Certainly not the way we would have wanted it to. So maybe as a fan of the Dolphins, I can kind of get behind this ban, but as just a football fan in general, it's just, I don't know. It's you're taking the toughness out of the NFL, man. And I don't know if I dig it.
Yeah. And after they already did take the toughness out of football, right? I mean, back in our day, we used to like cheer on when they were headhunting those safeties. I mean, I understand that it's about player safety, right? So I'm torn here. I'm glad that it might, you know, avoid some of those injuries that we saw. I think Mark Andrews went down. You mentioned Tyreek Hill, but at the end of the day, football players are going to play football. So I don't know how they're going to enforce this. I mean, they're already terrible at enforcing the rules they have, but
that's the key.
I would look forward to the Dolphins playing in a flag football league, right? I mean, they might finally have a chance to win a playoff game if that were the case.
That's probably the only thing that really bothers me. It's another thing that the refs have to watch for, and it's another thing the refs are going to be confident that they get right, and there's going to be no doubt in my mind they're going to get it wrong. 15 yards, the first down seems like a lot. We want more points in the NFL, but what's wrong with just like 5 yards in an automatic first down? Give me that extra 1 point in fantasy. Let them get those 10 yards back. It just kind of seems like another thing that I just know that the Dolphins are going to get absolutely screwed over on. I always go back to, what was it, guys? 2011-ish, the Dolphins were facing the Pittsburgh Steelers, and Ben Roethlisberger, he won the game by reaching over the end into the end zone with the ball to score as time was expiring. And there's a huge debate because he fumbled the football. And I remember Daniel Tosh on his show, Tosh Point at the time, went on a huge rant. And that's when I finally kind of accepted that there's no doubt in my mind. There's no bias involved. There are refs out to get the Miami Dolphins.
In 2011, how old were you in 2011, Jake?
2011, I would have been 17, junior in high school.
Oh yeah. I just see you screaming at that television in the living room.
Face beat red. Just, oh,
I don't even remember this game you're speaking of. CTE is doing its damage on me as of late, but yeah, is this going to be one of those reviewable penalties now? Cause didn't they announce that today as well, that some of these personal fouls are going to be automatically reviewed by the replay people, like these roughing the quarterback penalties that we've all been up in arms with over the last few years, those are going to be reviewable now. Is the hip drop tackle going to be reviewable now?
It's only intentional groundings and roughing passer calls that I believe will be included in the review process. And I think it will all be done upstairs. Another rule they also added, Joshua, sorry if I'm stepping on your toes with this one, but the NFL did mention that if a coach nails their challenge, they can actually get a third challenge flag in a game, which doesn't matter to Dolphin fans because that is something Mike McDaniel does not know how to use.
Not so good.
He doesn't know how to use it right. He definitely knows how to use it. He just doesn't know how to use it correctly.
Yeah, not Mike McDaniel's strong suit there.
Yeah, I was going to say, hopefully, you know, two missed challenges don't equate to losing one in the next game, right? We'd be absolutely screwed. But I'm glad you clarified those rules because that's news to me. I know they were talking about the quarterback got hit on their head, you know, and it was obvious, you know, then those guys could go ahead and do that. But oh, look, he pulled it up.
Oh, look at hey, we're getting fancy now. This
five,
if you're on the YouTube stream,
WQAM YouTube channel, I have pulled up the Dolphins Steelers game. It was October 24th. 2010, it was called the worst play ever. We have a third and goal. The Dolphins are winning 22-20, 2 minutes, 37 seconds left on the clock. Ben Roethlisberger is in the shotgun. Look at those nice pink cleats he's wearing.
They're on the line. They're blitzing.
The play clock.
Oh, here he goes. Oh, no. Get him. Dansby, come on.
That ball into the end zone. The ref's just sitting there.
Oh, turn the shit off.
It's always the ref on the bottom who just comes in so confident with the, you know, he's scored. He didn't see anything.
Where were you at, Jeremiah Bell? I don't know, guys. It looked like he forced it. He just jammed it in there. Ben Roethlisberger, real good at things like that.
R.I.P. Tony. All right, well, that was a fun little sidetrack. Sorry for anyone that's listening to this on the podcast feed. Joshua, do you have any thoughts about these rules? I'm sorry I stepped on your toes there, I think, twice.
No, man, you brought up, you used technology to our advantage. I mean, that was dope. I did not expect that. I was like, what the hell is going on? Here comes my internet messing up. All I was going to say is I just wish that they would, if they're going to take that step where they're allowing the instant replay booth to, you know, make that final say, if it's that clear that it's an obvious, I wouldn't mind if they, you know, then took that to pass interference and things like that. Because at the end of the day, if a play is, you know, these guys play 60 minutes, are out there, they're like gladiators. If it comes down to one play or two plays that is clear that it's wrong, they should be able to change that. Because I mean, thankfully, Dolphin fans, I don't think we have too many that we have to sit back and harp on, you know, wonder what if. But throughout history, throughout the last few years, we've seen games that have been decided with plays like that, that maybe if it was challenged, it would be differently. So it's not going to make the ref's job any easier. They need to eventually get robots out there or something, but hopefully it makes the game more interesting and more true. And hopefully the injuries, that whole thing goes away with the hip drop tackle, but I don't know how they're going to enforce that, guys.
I don't know if you guys feel the same way, but I always thought there were three phases of free agency. Phase one, well, it's pretty obvious. I mean, you're not going to hear players making $110 million any day of the week, right? That is phase one of free agency, that first week legal tampering period. Phase two can go one of two ways. Phase two, some people could say it's 2 weeks after phase one, just because you see how quickly that top of the line money kind of dries up, and then all of a sudden it's scrambling to fill out the roster. Others might say that, hey, phase two begins right after the draft because additions made via free agency no longer impact the compensatory pick formula. And then phase three, a lot of people say, is when training camp begins. You get an injury, you might see some more contracts actually balloon up, some bigger deals than you would have seen in phase two, just because it's minutes to midnight. Every team is really at the point of, we play football in 2 weeks, we have to be prepared. So where the Dolphins are now, we've seen about 38 to 40 transactions that the Miami Dolphins have made, players signing with other teams, players coming to the Dolphins. And I think we all agree Chris Greer has done a strong job of just tidying up this roster, making it pretty sound in terms of a bottom line. But gentlemen, I think before the draft arrives, there are some scenarios that could play out where Miami is showing their hand. I think it was 2 years ago where was it Denver jumped over Miami to take a running back, Josh?
Javonte Williams, yeah.
Yeah, so that was kind
of a scenario. Holland.
Gave us Holland. That's actually a great, great Rivera-Suno card. But there are scenarios where I think everybody kind of expected the Dolphins to be eyeing running backs, right? Because it was a weakness of the team. So what I did today, I gave you guys some homework. We're going to go through some of the players that the Miami Dolphins could either use at the end of phase one, beginning of phase two. I don't care whatever you want to call it. Let's tidy up this roster. Let's finish it off so we're not getting plucked come end of April when we get to the draft. Merrick, let's start on defense. What say you?
Yeah, I really like that you brought up, the draft in all of this, because what it feels like the Dolphins are doing right now is leaving themselves the ability to go best player available, to go BPA, you know, in rounds one and in rounds two. Really the only significant picks the Dolphins do have this year so far, you know, without some sort of trade down scenario or anything like that. With that being said, you mentioned phase one, phase two. I feel like Chris Greer and the Dolphins have really cleaned up in phase two, really adding a lot of quality pieces on cheap deals, filling the holes in this roster ahead of the draft so that they can get BPA in the first and second round. That being said, I think there are still some minor holes in this roster. One of those being that edge rusher / outside linebacker position, right? Because you look at this team, they signed a Shaq Barrett. That's good. That's great. We like that. I like that move. They have a Bradley Chubb. They have a Jalen Phillips, but those guys are coming off of significant injuries, an Achilles tear, an ACL tear. We don't know if they'll be ready for the start of the season, although recent reports, including some today, some comments from Mike McDaniel talked about how they might be ready for week one. And McDaniel says the goal isn't just week one. The goal is to have them for the entire season. So I like those words. That's encouraging. We'll see if it plays out. But I still do think that with the departure of Andrew Van Ginkle and Emmanuel Ogba and only the addition of Shaq Barrett, there is a need for an edge rusher. And I think I have found myself a dented can. Much like Chris Greer likes to do, he finds those dented cans. He brings them in here. Nobody else wants them. They're coming off injuries, yada, yada, yada. I found one, and his name is Tyus Bowser, formerly of the Baltimore Ravens, a former second-round pick in the 2017 draft. He missed the entire 2023 season with a knee injury. That was after he missed half of the 2022 season coming off of an Achilles tear. So, again, he might be the most dented of the dented cans out there as far as these edge rushers go, but that could work to the Dolphins' advantage because dented cans come in on cheap deals. So Tyus Bowser, formerly of the Baltimore Ravens, had his best season for the Ravens in 2021 where he started all 17 games. Now, that's significant for the Miami Dolphins because in 2021, the Baltimore Ravens hired somebody named Anthony Weaver to coach their defensive line. Anthony Weaver is the new defensive coordinator of the Miami Dolphins. In 2021, Tyus Bowser started all 17 games. He had 7 sacks, 15 quarterback hits, 2 forced fumbles, and 59 tackles playing for the Baltimore Ravens. It's actually the only time in his NFL career that he has started every regular season game for his team, the Ravens there. So if we can get the 2021 version of Tyus Bowser, we'll be ecstatic. But if we could even get something close to that as a rotational edge rusher for the Miami Dolphins while playing for his former defensive line coach, now would be his defensive coordinator in Anthony Weaver, be really stoked about that. Another cool thing about Tyus Bowser, he's kind of your Andrew Van Ginkle replacement. He's not a big guy on the edge. He's 6'3", 250, right around where AVG was in terms of height and weight there. But he's still an effective pass rusher, but because he's a little smaller and a little bit quicker, he can actually drop into coverage as well. In 2020, the year before his Achilles tear, he actually had 3 interceptions in coverage there as a linebacker for the Ravens. So if you're looking for an edge rusher, yeah, exactly, right? That's probably a Mario reference, is it not? But, you know, if you're looking for an edge rusher, Bowser could be your guy, but he can also drop into coverage. He's versatile. He's multiple. That's what the Dolphins are looking for in their defenders. They want him to be able to move around all along that defensive formation, do multiple jobs. And I think if you could get Bowser in on a cheap 1-year deal, a prove it deal, I think he's just what, you know, the doctor could be ordering here in Miami. And I would, I'd turn over that stone if I was Chris Greer. What say you guys?
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, I mean, I like that name. And I mean, I've been on Twitter for what? I think I posted it 15 years. But if you go back, whatever draft class he came out of, I definitely posted 4 guys that I want the Dolphins to go after. I think one was Forrest Lamp. I could be in the wrong draft. But either way, I posted a picture of Bowser because I had interest in him. I do think the Dolphins still have that need. So the fact that he has familiarity with Anthony Weaver, the fact that the Dolphins have that need, the fact that he probably wants to go out there and prove something, right? And he does kind of fit that whole Chris Greer bill of being a bit banged up, right? I mean, that's kind of what Chris Greer does. He brings in these injured guys. So it's worth a dice throw. I would have no issue with it. But as I'll talk about, I might have another player that I'm intrigued by. Jake, what do you think about Tyus Bowser?
Are you guys surprised, shocked, concerned that the Dolphins haven't signed a single player from Baltimore this offseason? Maybe some of those Anthony Weaver guys. And I mean, if you want to take it even a step farther, Anthony Walker, I think, is the only guy from the AFC North that the Dolphins have signed. We saw it a few different players with Vic Fangio last year. And we've also kind of, I've fallen into the trap of saying, like, hey, we're going to sign two players from Buffalo. You see them twice a year. Obviously, you know these guys a little better. Are you surprised that we've reached this point without any of those Baltimore signings, not a lot of AFC North in general signings, those guys that Weaver would be accustomed to and comfortable with? Instead, the Dolphins are just kind of building it from the ground up, it seems, that everyone's just kind of coming at this from the same direction.
I think they did get one Raven. He didn't play for them last year, but he did play for them while Anthony Weaver was with the team. I believe Isaiah Mack, defensive tackle, was an early signing for the Dolphins. So he did come from the Ravens there, just not last season. But I guess I'm not super concerned. You know, looking at some of these guys, I know we had talked about Geno Stone as a safety fit. He would have been somebody that was kind of in the Dolphins' price range. They went and got Jordan Poyer on a steal of a deal. You know, he's a little bit older in age, so that probably contributed to that. But I like the fact that they didn't just rush out there and say, Weaver, do whatever you want, get whoever you want, and fill this defensive roster with your guys. They took their time. They killed it in phase two of the free agency wave here. And I've liked what they've done so far, and I don't think they're done. And obviously we have the draft to get through as well, but currently I'm actually really digging the Dolphins offseason so far. And I think there's a lot of people out there that would probably tell me I'm crazy because we lost some good pieces. You know, Christian Wilkins is a really good player. I actually have a buddy who's a Raiders fan. I ran into him yesterday and he was like all excited. You know, Christian Wilkins, I think that was a great signing. And I said, hey, he's a great player, great personality, locker room leader. But that's a lot of money, $27.5 million a year for a defensive tackle. And he goes, well, yeah, but that's going to open things up for Max Crosby so well. You know, Christian Wilkins, he didn't play with an edge defender like Crosby in Miami. And I'm like, yeah, he played with two, Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips. And I said, good luck, man. I wish him nothing but the best, but I don't think it's as much of a home run signing as he thinks it is. And at that price, I'd much rather have like literally 12 guys the Dolphins brought in instead of just one Christian Wilkins. So not overly concerned with the fact that we haven't lined up to bring in former Baltimore Ravens. Cause I'm really digging what we've done so far.
Yeah. And we're homers. We're going to spin this thing either way. The one thing I was going to say is you said he's not bringing his own guys. To be fair, we don't know who he wanted, right? He could have been having his board of players he scouted. Could be, no, I want this piece here in Miami. I want this and that. So still some work to be done. I'm intrigued by all their offseason moves. And Tyus Bowser would be an interesting signing for sure.
Who do you got?
Who do I have? Okay, this is another guy. I mean, if you go back the 15 years of Houts through the encyclopedia and you type in Isaiah Simmons, I actually looked it up today, and back in 2020, I said, I love Tua Tagovailoa, but I won't be the most upset if the Dolphins went with Jordan Love and Isaiah Simmons with their first round picks. Some might argue, no, based on the way Jordan Love is. I mean, you see the ranking. Some have him ranked number one out of these young quarterbacks. I'm still a Tua Tagovailoa believer, but to think that Jordan Love and Isaiah Simmons, that won't be the worst thing. But he's 25 years old. I'm telling you who he is, Isaiah Simmons. He's versatile as all hell. Was actually drafted eighth overall, three picks after Tua Tagovailoa by the Arizona Cardinals, then traded to the New York Giants for a swap of seventh round picks last year. He played linebacker with the Arizona Cardinals, then played safety with the New York Giants. So that just shows you what type of versatility he has. 6 foot four, 238 pounds. He ran a 4.3940 at the combine. This guy can, you know, again, play linebacker, can rush off the edge, can drop down in the box as a safety. We know the Dolphins still need a third safety. Four total seasons, 308 tackles, 19 pass breakups. This guy can do a little bit of everything. So I'm looking at the Dolphins roster. Still think we could use an edge, like Merrick said. Still know we could use a safety. Everyone's sitting here talking about, well, when Anthony Weaver comes, we're going to need three safeties. We still need another safety, despite the awesome Jordan Poyer signing, what he's making. He's closer to being a dinosaur fossil than he is a next Javon Holland. So bringing in Isaiah Simmons, a guy who still has some untapped potential, a guy that's young, a guy that doesn't seem like he's going to break the bank, that could fill a void and coming off the edge, can also play safety, can then be that chess piece, even play nickel a little bit on the boundary of corner. Again, versatile chess piece. So to me, I like Tyson Bowser, but if I had a choice, I think I would go and get Isaiah Simmons and see what he still has left because, again, 25 years old, guy can do a little bit of everything.
This dude sounds like a superhero, Josh, but why is he still available?
I don't know. I had to double and triple check to make sure the Giants didn't sign him because, like Wikipedia said, linebacker safety for the New York Giants. And I was like, damn, did I miss that he signed? Giants fans are waiting for him to sign him. They think he's a great piece. They see what he did last year. I don't know why he's still out there, Jake. I'm not sure why he's still out there. I think, again, this is that whole thing about that second phase of free agency, right? They're waiting to see maybe what teams do in the draft. Maybe he wants to sign a bigger deal, but I don't think he's going to cost a crazy amount. And I don't think Tyus Bowser would either.
You know, you're mentioning, you know, all the positions that Simmons plays there. You talk about safety, linebacker, nickel corner, boundary corner. Then you said he's 6'4", 238. My first thought is, can this dude play wide receiver? Because the Dolphins have a need at wide receiver 3 and a big body red zone target. If he could do everything you're saying he can do, and why don't we just get him on the other side of the football and run some end zone fades with Isaiah Simmons there and see if he can catch some 50-50 balls from Tua. How about it, guys?
If I was to let any coach finagle that, especially in an offense that has Tyreek Hill, you know, Jalen. Yeah, sure. Sign me up. I'd watch it.
Yeah. Dude, it's March. We can say whatever we want because everyone's going to forget about this by the time September rolls around. But yeah, no, you know, all things considered, I think if the Dolphins were to bring in somebody like an Isaiah Simmons and the contract was cheap enough, and like you said, a versatile piece there, I think that would be a good move for this defense. And I love the fact that he's still extremely young, even after being in the league for as long as Tua has been. You know, I think they're the same age there, so it's a little bit of a wash. But, you know, young dude, veteran dude, yeah, sure, sign me up. I'm down.
And just one more thing, he won the Buckus Award as the top linebacker while he was at Clemson. And he only played 378 snaps last season, but his coverage grade by PFF was 82.7. So we throw PFF grades out there because it's just someone's opinion on top of ours. But I would love this signing. I mean, as soon as we get off of here, I bet the Giants or Bills are going to sign him because basically every time I've talked about anyone this offseason, they went to a division rival. But maybe Anthony Weaver sitting here looking at him and saying, no, I bring him in. He can do this, that, be a different chess piece. Bring a guy that can come down in the box. I mean, I don't see what it would hurt to bring in either of these guys that we mentioned or any of these guys that we will mention. But if I had to put my money, if I was Chris Greer, I'd call up Isaiah Simmons as soon as he listens to this podcast.
Sorry, I just want to make sure I say this correctly. So knowing Anthony Weaver, we need 3 safeties in this defense. That's why I think Julian Nailed Black it. Should be someone the Dolphins start sniffing around here in phase 2. And they better hurry because he's currently meeting with the San Francisco 49ers. So if you guys don't know, Julian Blackman, former third-round pick of the Colts, he has 2 years of experience starting as a free safety, 1 year starting as a strong safety. That sounds great. That sounds exciting. Well, Jake, why is he still available in phase 2? Well, you still have guys like Justin Simmons available, Quandre Diggs available. I'll even throw Marcus May on that list just because. But we saw what this market is looking like with the safeties. Jordan Poyer signed for $2 million. Last year, Deshaun Elliott, signed a 2-year, $6 million deal to sign with the Steelers. The contracts for these safeties aren't massive, and I think that's where the Dolphins could find some opportunity, and I don't think Jordan Poyer is locked in as that starter next year. I look at Julian Blackman, someone with experience, someone with versatility. Last year, he was a great coverage safety, at strong safety last year. Of course, Holland is your current strong safety, but just having players that can do a lot of different things. He is a sound tackler, good against the run when he was playing free safety, when he was roaming the field a little bit more. So I thought it was interesting that he has all this experience, but at the same time, he was placed on injured reserve in December for a shoulder injury. He tore his Achilles in 2021. He tore his ACL in 2019. This is someone who has truly struggled to stay on the field, and I think that's where the Dolphins can truly find their bread and butter in the form of these guys who just need that opportunity to prove it. I think the Dolphins have the snaps available for that third safety to come in and be a game changer. I think Julian Blackman, given an opportunity, could be a playmaker in the secondary, and I think he could be that final piece to solidify the unit and that back half of the defense.
Man, Jake, you're listing off that laundry list of injuries that Julian Blackman has suffered. Crazy. And I like, can you see it in the distance? Chris Greer rubbing his hands together and licking his lips. It sounds like a Chris Greer special. He said, what, how many injuries has that guy had? Bring him on down to Miami, baby. That's what I like. No, in all seriousness though, you guys both brought up safeties there. And, you know, I talked about the Dolphins looking to fill the holes in the roster ahead of the draft. There absolutely is a need for another safety on this team right now. Poyer and Holland, that's a great duo. We need a third. I think you guys hit the nail on the head with that. I think the Dolphins will be looking at safeties. Could happen after the draft. Maybe not phase two, maybe phase three. Maybe when they get that $18 million from the post-June cut of Xavien Howard. Maybe that Justin Simmons guy could find himself a home in South Florida, because that, what a trio that would be. Simmons, Holland, and Poyer back there. Like, ooh, that's the no-fly zone for sure. But yeah, I really like you guys' suggestions of a third safety there. Dig it.
Yeah, my Isaiah Simmons, he was more of a novelty, right? He's a little bit of a chess piece, does a lot of things, but nothing great. I think Julian Blackman come in there. And I think the thing that's most interesting, and like you guys both have mentioned, is these guys are going to be coming in wanting to prove it. And right now, that's what all the Dolphins could give these guys, right? I mean, you see here and see them throwing out voidable years just to get some of these guys under contract for a season. I mean, I have no issue with the Dolphins taking a flyer on any of these guys. And hopefully bringing in a guy like Blackman can then allow Javon Holland to move around, right? I mean, he played a lot of nickel in college. I don't know if that's where you want him, but bringing him down the box, I mean, I think he was the first one to say, or would be the first one to admit, that he wasn't utilized to his fullest potential last season. I think we all saw him go into the moon and it kind of just simmered where he was. So, yeah, I think we need a safety for sure. I think the best thing about all of this, and you continue to say American, I think I sound like a broken record pod after pod, but the one thing you can't say about Chris Greer is that he doesn't do a great job of plugging these holes and giving you an opportunity to go into the draft best player available and just letting the board fall into your lap, letting these players fall as they do and let your chips go the way they feel.
You mentioned these void years, Josh. Did you guys see today the numbers for Shaq Barrett, his contract? They came out and he has 4 void years on the end of a 1 year up to $9 million deal. Listen, void years, this is kind of a new trend in the National Football League over the last year or two. When I was in high school, I played football because I wasn't good at math. I didn't know that later on in life, talking football on a podcast, I would have to be some math genius just to understand cap space and void years and all of this crap. So, you know, these guys much smarter than I am, they got it all figured out. But 4 void years sounds scary, and then people break it down on Twitter and they're like, well, actually, it's really not that bad because 0% interest in credit card. And again, way above my pay grade here, but Dolphins got it all figured out. So, yeah, bring in one of these safeties and give them 27 void years at the end of that. Is there a limit? Is there a limit to how many void years you can have? I don't know. I don't know the rules.
So Barrett does have 4. The Dolphins will have a price tag of $1.1 million each of the next 4 years. Just for Shaq Barrett's services, that'll be interesting to see that stuff play out. It's fun to kind of try to digest that info now, but it will be a little more annoying, frustrating when we do it in a couple years and you're just trying to get under the salary cap and there's $1 million here and $2 million here you have to deal with. So looking forward to those podcasts, and I hope you guys are too.
Yeah, the first time one of these players we love signs somewhere else for, what, $1 million more, we're going to be like, you suck. Damn you, Shaq Barrett. And he's just living in like the shades and we're just sitting on the beach drinking a pina colada or something. And we're just, damn you.
Well, one thing I did hear, actually, Kyle Krabs on the Locked On Dolphins podcast, if you want like a nice breakdown, you might have to listen to it a few times just to get it all in your dome there, just because it is a lot of mathematics. But he does a really great job breaking down what these void years mean and why they're important for every team to be doing now. It's not just the Dolphins doing these things. It's literally every team in the NFL doing it. So if you're not doing it, you're kind of falling behind here. But he did mention, and I thought it was interesting, that let's say you sign like they did Shaq Barrett to 1 year, and then you got four void years on the back end of that. If they happen to re-sign Shaq Barrett, give him an extension of any kind, those void years don't actually trigger until the new contract runs out. So you wouldn't actually be paying the additional $1.1 million in the void years unless they were to cut him or the contract was to run out. So that could give you a little relief if he does well for you this year and you want to bring him back on another 1 or 2 year deal.
Before the show, we were talking and kind of joking about the idea that Chris Greer is such a great, great guy to all the Miami Dolphins content creators out there. If there's a running back available, Dolphins are going to be linked to him. If Tyreek Hill hits the market, you're damn sure Chris Greer is going to have a seat at that table. Legarius Sneed, the Dolphins have, what, two draft picks in the top 150? They have negative $50 million in cap space, and we're talking about Legarius Sneed? Well, Chris Greer is there talking to him too. And the most recent report that everyone seemed to have gotten caught up in is that Odell Beckham Jr., yes, that guy, OBJ, the one-handed catch, is in South Florida visiting with the Miami Dolphins. But days passed. He left. I actually think he might still be in Miami. Who would want to leave? Let's be honest. But days passed without a contract, and we're stuck sitting here. Hey, hold on a minute. SportTrack says that Odell Beckham Jr. deserves a contract of 1 year, $12 million. The Dolphins, oh, that's a mean voice crack. The Dolphins have $10 million in cap space, while there are nine teams that currently have over $25 million available to spend on current free agents. Guys, is it slightly possible that we put the carriage in front of the horse a little bit on the possibilities with OBJ coming to Miami, despite him hanging out, having a cup of tea in South Florida?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I wish I would have messaged you guys this when I thought of it, because there's no way for me to prove it now. But the day he visited, everyone was like, oh, yeah, this is going to happen. This, you know, book it. And I sat back and I said, I don't think it's actually going to happen. Not today, anyways, because the Dolphins and Chris Greer in particular, over the last couple seasons, he has had a price point for all of the free agents that they've brought in. And you've seen the Dolphins have multiple visits over the last few years that didn't actually result in signings, because those guys came in and Chris Greer said, we will give you this amount of money and not a dollar more, take it or leave it. And sometimes these guys leave it. Sometimes they take it, but sometimes they leave it as well. And Odell didn't really and doesn't really strike me as a guy who's willing to go, oh, you know what? All right, I'll just take it. I'll do the easy thing and just take the deal. You know, Odell's a very proud person. He's had a good NFL career. May I whisper, maybe a little bit of an overrated NFL career, you know? Like,
just being a hater.
No, I like Odell, and I would be very happy.
So he signs
happy.
With Miami, then your tune changes real quick.
I am in favor of the Dolphins signing Odell Beckham Jr. to a team-friendly deal as a wide receiver three. You know, if you're bringing him in on that $12 million that SpoTrack says he can get, I'm not for that. I don't want that. Unless, again, you have 27 void years on the back of that, you can reduce his cap space down. Again, not even sure how that all works. But I would be in favor of the Dolphins bringing in Odell Beckham Jr., but I just didn't think it was going to happen on the day of the visit, because I just didn't think the numbers would align, and sure enough, they haven't. So now we sit and now we wait. But it does still sound like there's positive vibes surrounding Odell coming to Miami, and it does make you wonder if this visit was more about, you know, checking the medicals, making sure, you know, he's an older guy, 32, about to be 33 years old, you know, making sure that he's healthy. And hey, again, post June 1st, we get $18.1 million from that Xavier Howard cut. Maybe Odell can get a little bit closer to the number he wants if he waits until June to do this signing with the Dolphins. So do I think it's going to happen? I'm leaning yes. Do I think it's going to happen anytime soon? I'm leaning hard no on that one.
Yeah, and you mentioned the Chris Greer thing, you know, offering contracts that, you know, he feels are suitable and pretty much saying take it or leave it. I mean, that's another great thing about him and going into the draft. I mean, I'm okay if they offered him a contract, they kind of lowballed him a little bit. They want to see what prospects might fall to them in the draft and maybe go that route at wide receiver three. But I'm not going to sit here and cry over spilled milk for 1 second if Odell Beckham Jr. signs with the Dolphins. It's funny, we're bringing up what Jake said, SpoTrack saying about $12 million. Dolphins have about $10 million. Isn't that Shaq Barrett money we were just saying we're going to be pissed about, you know, heading down the road? I know we're 1 year early on that, but Yeah, I think one thing we do have to remember, though, and I don't know if you guys see it, I've been, you know, coming on and off Twitter, but it's just so funny how many people, like you said on that day, you know, my sources are saying, you better get ready for this, Dolph. You better get ready. If you don't want Odell Beckham, you better get ready because he's about to sign. And here we are, crickets. And no one ever holds those people accountable. Everyone wants to have sauce.
Now's your chance, Joss. Now's your chance. Name names. Name names.
Everybody knows who these people are. Everybody knows who these people are. And I'm not going to add anybody, but I mean, for me, it's just funny that we're still sitting here talking about Odell Beckham Jr. And hopefully there's a time comes when he wants that contract, right? Because that's what it all comes down to. If he wants that little bit of money, the Dolphins are willing to pay him.
Well, he doesn't even need money. He's got that Kardashian money now, right? Isn't he dating Kim K?
I don't know, man. That's
the rumors. Write it up for the Finsider.
How deep's your football knowledge?
Not everything's a story, Josh.
So I think people forget here, and there's more at work here than the Miami Dolphins are trying to sign a good player. I think people forget that while Mike Tannenbaum was the president of football operations in Miami, Chris Greer was the general manager of the Miami Dolphins. As you start writing up these stories, you start to identify some trends. And two years ago, we had the Dolphins traded for Tyreek Hill. Just like that, all of a sudden, Josh, what was it? Like 2 hours and Tyreek Hill's available. 30 minutes later, the Dolphins and Jets are the teams. 45 minutes later, he's traded to the Dolphins and he signs this new deal just like that. And then you're telling me all of a sudden when the Chiefs are struggling and want to try to trade away Legarius Sneed, they're trying to find trade partners. You're telling me that the Dolphins are just mentioned there just because it's Chris Greer just simply sniffing around with negative $50 million in cap space? What I think we're seeing is someone who knows that this is a team that got straight A's on the report cards. They know how much people like playing for the Miami Dolphins. And this is a nice way for the Dolphins to give OBJ a nice media boost. All of a sudden, you have Adam Schefter tweeting about him. You have all these different conversations going around, where all of a sudden OBJ might get that higher price contract. These aren't these private visits. The Dolphins make everything very loud and clear. They're very transparent with these things. You can tell that we're able to report on every single one of them. I'm genuinely interested to see here if this was kind of passing in the street where, okay, OBJ, go see if you can make more money. We'll even hype you up with saying you'll come, you know, visit with us, but we're going to make it clear. We're going to sign you for our price and that contract's going to sit out there if you'd like it. And it's kind of refreshing and interesting to see someone like Greer have a seat at every single table, even if he doesn't necessarily want it. If you could have it one way or the other, where you don't have a seat at a single table, or maybe you're 40,000 pounds overweight because you're eating every single buffet possible. I think I like this approach from Greer.
Yeah, I agree, Jake. Having a seat at the table is better than the alternative, and that's being iced out at every turn. So the Dolphins are not that franchise. The Dolphins are the franchise that has their hands in every bucket here, and who knows, maybe they could pull out an Odell Beckham, you know, later on this offseason and make it work in Miami.
Yeah, I know a lot of people kind of joke and say, you know, the Dolphins have interest in every single player, every free agent, every this and that. They do, but then there are times when they have legit interest, and there's so we can't even really tell the difference between the two, right? And I think it's all Chris Greer's master plan, and we're sitting here talking about Odell Beckham, but I don't think the Dolphins have to really rush that at all, right? I mean, we can sit here and name names on a list of these free agent guys that we could have some type of interest in. I mean, we wouldn't be upset if – yeah, and I do too. I didn't know if we wanted to go that route, but tell me who you guys – who else would you want to sign, Jake? Wide receiver 3. Who else is on that list that catches your eye?
I think even if OBJ does come down from his price tag, I think it still might be a little more expensive than the Miami Dolphins are willing to spend. So if you listen softly in the distance, you'll hear another can rolling down the street, Merrick. Let me tell you about Russell Gage, a 28-year-old wide receiver who I think would be absolutely excellent in Miami. However, he did suffer a non-contact knee injury in August of 2023. He did not play last season, but I think this is just what the Dolphins could use at the wide receiver position. He has 4 touchdowns in 3 straight seasons, going from 2020 to 2022. Spent time with Atlanta, spent time with the Bucks. He has over 50 receptions in 3 straight seasons, and I think my favorite aspect of his game, in 2022, 340 snaps out wide, only 185 in the slot. 2021, 339 snaps out wide, 266 in the slot. So for someone who plays the majority of the time out wide, I'd love to see the Dolphins identify that boundary receiver where you could have so much more fun with Jalen Waddle in the slot. Dare I say, who would ever put Tyreek Hill in the slot? We know Mike McDaniel loves to do that. So looking more for that boundary guy, I think Russell Gage could be a nice skill set down the same path as OBJ, someone who you could line up outside and have a little flexibility, but not necessarily someone you need to feed consistently for them to really show their impact on the football field.
So, you know, you're talking Russell Gage here as a wide receiver for the Miami Dolphins. I had one question and one question only. Is he fast? Because that's what the Dolphins care about. Is he fast? So I actually looked it up. Russell Gage, 40-yard dash at the combine the year he came out. 4.42. That's fast enough, baby. Let's go. I'm on the Russell Gage train now. Let's get him in.
I remember having Russell Gage in fantasy football, so I'll spin that any way you want, Jake. I mean, that's another wide receiver three that's out there. Other names I had like Hunter Renfrow written down and DJ Chark. I wanted DJ Chark in Miami for a long time. But the point is, there's a bunch of guys outside of Odell Beckham, right, that they can bring in here, could fit that wide receiver three position and maybe produce more than what we've seen in years past. But I still think, as we talked about time and time again, Jonnu Smith, Devon Achane, those are probably going to be those guys that really bite into that wide receiver three production. But who knows anymore? Who knows what Mike McDaniel is going to come out with this year? I mean, if Odell Beckham signs, they might draw up all sorts of plays designed just for him. At least we'll get a guy that can actually catch the fade, though, right? That'd be great.
That would be fade. That, I mean, his most famous play in his career is essentially not necessarily a fade, but he might as well have caught it like a fade, you know? One-handed against the Cowboys. Rookie year?
Random. Ooh. Random. You guys are talking about a bunch of injured guys. I did have to bring up earlier when I was talking about Isaiah Simmons. He has not been injured this year. So his snap count was down, not injury prone. So he might not even be on Chris Greer's list, honestly.
Well, we're talking offense now, Josh. We're talking wide receivers. And I believe you had a wide receiver that you wanted to mention as well. Did you not?
No, I was going with Connor Williams. If we were doing offensive guys, well, I had Hunter Renfrow written down. I tweeted out my that image everyone used as a meme. I said Hunter Renfrow was spotted in Miami. Made that joke, was going to come in here and talk about that. Talk about DJ Chark. I think I even had Laviska Shenault written down. But the offensive guy I wanted to see the Dolphins resign was Connor Williams. But I didn't know how far we were going to go into that. I just wanted to bring him back because he can play center, can play guard. And right now, the one thing we need on that offensive line is guard. And hell, if Brewer were to go down, Connor Williams filling in. I mean, he was fantastic when he played center, outside of a few errant snaps, I guess is the word.
I would actually be in favor of a Connor Williams re-sign as well. Again, probably a post June 1st. We're talking about that a lot right now because that is when the Dolphins are going to get a large influx of cash. And who knows, maybe a Tua Tagovailoa extension gets done around that time as well, which would clear even more cap space for the Miami Dolphins. So Connor Williams coming off of what it sounds like a gruesome ACL injury. You know, there's talks of, will he play again? Will he not play again? I don't know. I don't know too much on that front. You know, it's his agent Drew Rosenhaus talking about that on the radio. So we'll see where he's at with his injury recovery. But if everything checks out all right, I think Connor Williams is a great offensive lineman, can play center, can play guard, can play tackle. And, you know, you need those types of players on your line. So I'd be down for another 1 year deal for Connor Williams, you know, just to make sure that knee is all right.
Mac, you got one more player you want to bring us home with?
I do, and I'm kind of my brain is on the same wavelength as Josh's here, even though I thought he was going to talk about a wide receiver, but that's why I leave the transitions up to you, Jake. But I'm looking at offensive line as well, and I'm looking at a guy that I talked about a few episodes ago, and that's Laken Tomlinson, okay? Let me preface this conversation with the fact that last year, playing for the New York Jets, Laken Tomlinson sucked. He was just downright awful. He gave up 7 sacks, but that entire Jets offensive line was bad. And I don't know if you know this.
The Jets suck. You don't have to preface it. The Jets suck. We can say that.
We know that. This is a Dolphins podcast. These are Dolphins fans listening. We know the Jets suck. But to be fair, they were blocking for some awful quarterbacks. Aaron Rodgers goes down 4 plays into the season, and then all of a sudden it's the Zach Wilson show again, and then he craps the bed predictably, and then you got other guys in there that don't know what they're doing either. But Laken Tomlinson was not a scheme fit for the New York Jets offense. Laken Tomlinson's best years happened in San Francisco when Mike McDaniel was a run game coordinator for the San Francisco 49ers. So if anyone's going to know how to best utilize Laken Tomlinson's skill set in an outside zone rushing scheme, it's going to be Mike McDaniel. So again, dented can, saying that phrase a lot again, he's a dented can based on his play, not even injury history, but just based on the fact that he wasn't very good last year and he's getting up there in age. He'll be 33 years old by the time the season kicks off. So if you can get him in on a one-year deal, a cheap deal, while you shore up that offensive line a little bit, maybe you take somebody else in the draft and he can help mentor that person, I'm down for that because my old age has taught me that it's nice to have flash and it's nice to have sizzle with the wide receivers and the running backs and the tight ends and all those skilled players. But football games, especially late in the year, especially in the elements where the Dolphins have struggled, you know, forever, football games are won in the trenches. And that's why these players I want to bring in, Tyus Bowser, defensive line, Laken Tomlinson, offensive line. Let's get these big, beefy men in there and let's play some bully ball.
I thought you were saying the older you got, you're more focused on knowing your knees and back don't hurt. I definitely thought that's where I thought you were going with that one. I think this is an interesting signing. He would be the oldest free agent signing the Dolphins would add this year would be Laken Tomlinson. I'd be super scared having him starting next to someone like Teron Armstead. I guess my only thought about the trend the Dolphins are taking here is with the tackles they're signing, Isaiah Wynn, 27 years old, he'll be back. Aaron Brewer is 26 years old. And who else did they say? Jack Driscoll, he is also 27 years old. So I wonder if the Dolphins are just trying to pray that some of these guys who have been around for a few years, they've kind of have those reps, even if it's not a full-time starter. Maybe they can come in and hit the ground running instead of hoping someone like Laken Tomlinson at 33 years old can be comfortable enough to work 17 games going to that second level and trying to devour linebackers so Devon Achane can run free for a 20-yard game. That's my one concern with someone like Tomlinson. It does seem like the Dolphins are aiming to get younger in the interior of the offensive line.
And that's a valid concern. If they would have went out and signed Tomlinson on day one of free agency, I think I would have been a little hesitant about that. And I would have been looking at the numbers like, oh, what are we doing? But, you know, this late in the game, phase two, possibly phase three, you know, in a couple months, if you could bring him in on a one-year cheap prove it deal, low guarantees, somebody who, if it doesn't work out in training camp, you can just give him the boot and tell him to get on out of here. I think I'd be down for that, but these are, you know, this wasn't, you know, your big name. We're not talking big names today. We're not talking splashy signings. We're digging deep here.
Every car has a dent here.
And that's exactly what we're trying to do here. We're giving you that deep cut content on another Dolphins podcast. And I think we all came up with some good names and you know what? Throw some void years on the back of all these deals and let's bring them all in, baby.
Yeah, let's run it back. I mean, we're sitting here talking, you and I, at least we're talking about guards, centers, you know, guys who can play on the offensive line. I honestly feel like right now they're probably pretty happy with what they have, right? They can run it back with Eichenberg and Jones if they have to. That you mentioned just Skoll being involved. I hope someday we see Connor Williams, but we'll see what happens. And we all like to sit here and talk about Tua Tagovailoa being the quickest, you know, at getting that ball out. But ideally, you don't want him to have to worry about, you know, an edge rusher coming around the edge, you know, and you only having this amount of time before your life flashes before your eyes. So I'm here bringing as many offensive linemen as we need, bringing as many big meaty guys up front, like Jake said, and let's do this thing. Let's sign all of them. Like you said, throw in all the void years we need.
One final question before we wrap up here on another Dolphins podcast. Which of these players announces the retirement before they're signing? Bruce Irvin, Justin Houston, Justin Bethel. I kind of even want to throw Jonathan Harrison in there, but I won't. So Justin Bethel, Justin Houston, Bruce Irvin, who announces the retirement first?
I will go with Justin Houston.
I'll go with Irvin because he was between Houston or Irvin. So what about you, Jake? You just going to do the other one? We'll be right then. We can play the clip and tell everybody we had sources.
I think I want to go Houston because Irvin sounded like he still has that. When he was here for 2 weeks, all I remember, he had that dog in him. He was ready to go out there.
In more dog than half the locker room.
Negative 40 degree weather. Oh, man. But that is it. Boys, it was a little bit of a break there in the middle, but it was great to chat with you guys again. Thank you all so much for listening to another Dolphins podcast. We will be back soon with a new episode. But until then, fins up.
Fins up, baby.
Fins up. We'll be right back.